Welcome to The Best Is Yet To Be, the show that helps you make the rest of your life the best of your life. Now here's your host, Deborah Bales.
Hello, and welcome to The Best Is Yet To Be, the show that helps you make the rest of your life the best of your life. And every week we have special guest experts on our show, and our show is dedicated to healthy aging because the premise behind the show is aging, if we're lucky, will happen to all of us, so why not celebrate it? And to that end, we have guest experts on from throughout the community to talk about different various aspects of positive aging. And today I have Catherine Aceto, who is a medical social worker with Amedisys Home Healthcare. And Catherine, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Deborah. I appreciate the invite and look forward to hopefully giving some helpful information to some folks out there who could use a little bit of extra nudge for helpful ideas that definitely keep people healthier and more active.
Absolutely. And Catherine, as a medical social worker, what exactly do you do?
As a medical social worker, it really encompasses a lot of different areas, and it's not just going into the health to attend to the medical. The company that I'm part of as a medical social worker is Amedisys Home Health, and at Amedisys Home Health, they're totally comprehensive. And with that being the case, we have an RN who is usually the initial person that will go into the home and do open a case if it's something that the patient requires. And from there, she'll have a form and she'll put a request in for whatever disciplines are necessary for the patient. And what we're looking at is for them to be able to improve and have the highest quality of life they can and remain at home. So there'll be nursing, there'll be physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech, dietitian if necessary, and of course moi for the medical social work.
Okay.
So after I get the orders, it's always an order from a physician. And the physician will call me in because he sees that because of health-related issues, there are psychosocial and financial and other areas that they need assistance with.
So you go in and actually take a holistic look at the client, the patient, in conjunction with the other professionals that work at Amedisys.
Exactly. Once I go in, because their disciplines are so specific on their area, once I go in, it is more comprehensive. In our case reviews, I would be helping everyone else look at the total picture. How is everything in this person's life affecting their health? How is this helping or holding them back from their health improving? And a lot of times there are many areas. I mean, it could be that the person really doesn't have food, or when they talk to the discipline that's in, they're answering in a positive way, saying that everything's fine, they're eating, they're sleeping, and in all actuality, they're not. And when I go in there, I can see that from my MSW eval. Once I do my assessment, sometimes it's the way they're answering, and a lot of it is like detective work, and through several questions and a lot of exploration and really trying to build a relationship, even though it's a short period of time, it may take an hour to 2 hours for the first visit. It's trying to ascertain in a comfortable way with empathy and caring how I can help and what's going on.
Mm-hmm. And you have an extensive background as a medical social worker. And can you tell us a little bit about your background? And I detect a Boston accent.
I am from the East Coast, and that's where my career in social work began. About 13 years ago, I got my master's in clinical social work. And from there, I got into many different areas. So I'm rather eclectic, and I think that helps me being able to assess and really be able to know what the diagnosis is or some of the other issues. with clinical social work, I then went on while working in the East Coast with mental health and worked with everything from counseling to case management to CBT, which is cognitive behavioral work, working with substance abuse, people in crisis, suicidal, homicidal, working with abuse, physical, emotional, sexual, and neglect, and the medical social work, of course, and also some behavioral work. And I also had private practice, so there I was able to counsel individuals, families, and couples. So from there, after years of doing that, I came out to the East Coast, and I've been here 3 years.
The West Coast.
The West Coast.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I'm helping people with memory issues, Anne.
So you've been out here in the West Coast for about 3 years, and did you join Amedisys when you came out here, or were you part of that back east?
The majority of the work I do out here is a little bit different than what I did on the East Coast. On the West Coast, I am specializing in the elder population, and a lot of that is because with the aging boomers, it is just huge. It's a large field that's growing tremendously. There's a lot of help, and I really feel it's a neglected area. These wonderful aging people have services that they need, and there are a lot of agencies or lack of agencies that may offer some of the little areas, the niches which they need, and then they end up falling back on some of the care that they need because of not having the care.
Mm-hmm. The focus on elders, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And when you go into a home, you mentioned that you first conduct a complete, thorough evaluation. And what goes on during that evaluation?
During the evaluation, I'll look at several areas. It's quite extensive. So I may go through their living situation first and look at, do they have stable housing? Do they have insurance? What do they have for finances? Are they able to pay the bills? Are they able to buy their prescriptions? Are they able to purchase food? If they purchase food, are they eating? Is the food nutritious? And, you know, is it stored correctly, and are there hygiene issues? I'll go through their ADLs and their IADLs and see.
Would you describe what those are real quick?
Yes, activities of daily living and instrumental activities of daily living. And those include the areas that bathing, dressing, transferring, being able to eat, being able to use a telephone, being able to do the housekeeping, laundry, cooking, all of those areas are the basic needs of a person. So once I assess that, I will see if there are areas, and that's very serious because if I find that someone isn't hydrated, which means they aren't drinking enough fluids, it's very serious if they're hydrated, if they're not eating and don't have good nutrition, and if they're not taking care of their self-care, then it's not a long time after that they will decline and deteriorate. And so I'll assess that, see if they are managing that, see if they're saying they're managing it, but they're actually not managing it. And if they're not, then I need to have a conversation about how to get care in the home, or is there a family or friends? You know, we always deal with the immediate family first, and who's there to help a person? And do they know how to help the person? Do they really know what signs to look for to even be aware that the person is starting to decline, and they may be answering to someone that is busy working or out of the home that they're taking care of things and they're actually being neglected?
Wow. Well, you know, excuse me, I've seen you in action, and actually you are able to put the client at ease very easily, and they will disclose things because they have that sense of ease with you.
Thank you. It's over time, that's something that is very comfortable, and it's very, very important. Whether it's for medical, whether it's for psychiatric, whether it's for anything in the helping field, you know, even scientific evidence shows that the relationship is number one. That's what is important for the person to be able to progress, for the person to be able to recover if they trust the person. And a lot of that in this population is using a low tone and being supportive, never judgmental, and giving them time. A lot of times I have to encourage them to share their feelings, to tell me about what their concerns might be, to express some things that might be going on in their life that may show other things. Maybe they are a dependent adult and the person or persons that are responsible for them are not. Or maybe there's financial exploitation or neglect or abuse. So being able to listen and allow them the time and trust to be able to disclose whatever may be helpful for me to make sure that they're safe and well cared for is very important.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're just tuning in, we're on the show The Best Is Yet to Be. Our special guest expert this week is Catherine Isido, MSW, that's Master's in Social Work, and she is a medical social worker for Amedisys Home Health Care. And Catherine, this might be a good time to give out your phone number for Amedisys. You're located right here on 4051 Broad Street, Suite 126 in San Luis Obispo. And your phone number for the office is 805-543-2108, or you can call toll-free at 877-795-2108. And you also have a website, I see, at www.amedisys.com. And that's spelled amedisys.com. Okay.
That's right. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, and if they want to reach you personally, can they do that?
They may, yes. They may call me at area code 207-807-4095.
Great. All right. Well, we're about to wind down to the first part of our show, and take a break for a word from our sponsor. Believe it or not, the first part has flown by very rapidly. And when we return with our talk with today's guest expert, Catherine Isido of Amedisys Home Health Care, Catherine's going to share some of the befores and afters and some very interesting anecdotes that illustrate the work that she does in her daily work with Amedisys. So hang on for just one moment, and we'll be right back with word from our sponsor.
Home on the Central Coast, there's simply no place like it. Rescare Home Care is here to help you stay at home and live on your own terms. Maybe you or a loved one needs a little help with everyday activities. Driving, cooking, doctor's appointments, lighthouse keeping, or just having a safe, trustworthy companion. Every Rescare Home Care professional is an experienced, screened, and insured employee, not a contractor. You'll feel comfortable having us in your home, whether it's a few hours a day or 24/7. We guarantee compatibility. Call us today at 781-8156. That's 781-8156. Rescare Home Care, respect and care at home. 781-8156.
Hello, and we're back on the show The Best Is Yet to Be. I'm your host, Deborah Bales, and you can hear us every Saturday streaming live at www.920kvec.com. You can, of course, tune in at noon on Saturdays to 9:20 a.m. On the radio, and you can also visit us at our radio show website, which is www.yet2.be. So that's www.yettobe. And I post the podcasts of every show on the website. And you can also feel free to call me anytime, and I'll be happy to connect you up with any of our guest experts. And my phone number is 805-550-2023. So when we left before the break, we were talking with Catherine Isido, medical social worker for Amedisys Home Care here in San Luis Obispo. And we were talking about some of the things that she does as a medical social worker. And Catherine also has some really interesting befores and afters in terms of anecdotes with some of the clients. Without naming names or breaching any confidentiality, of course, can you tell us an example of what you might do for a client?
I would love to. As I said, it's always a referral, orders from a physician. So the physician will have down specific medical reasons and concerns that he has. And when the referral is done for the MSW, there are, as I said, psychosocial and other concerns that originate from health-related reasons. And usually something that has triggered whatever the condition is that the referral the patient has. And in this case, this short story is a patient was sent to us because the patient had a fall. And a lot of times with the elder population, that's all it takes is one fall.
Right, right.
And it's very serious, whether it's a broken hip or otherwise. And in this case, it was something serious like that. And the particular patient, once I got the referral and went in to do this assessment, had already had a physical disability. So this was someone that fortunately, even with a physical disability, was mobile, was able to get around with a walker, not having to use a wheelchair, was able to manage independently with self-care. And when I went in and did the assessment, aside from the physical disability and the compromised condition because of the fall, I assessed and found that there was depression, there was anxiety, there was addiction issues, prescription for pain and anxiety meds. There were issues with lack of self-care. She, at that point, I could see was a dependent adult with someone in the house that was to be the caregiver. There was caregiver neglect due to what we saw as instructions that were being given and they weren't being followed through on, the patient not being bathed, the patient not being transferred, so the exercises could be completed. And there are skilled work that needs to be done. And in this case, when there's IHSS work, these people are getting paid, and so they should be performing these skilled services that they're being paid to perform.
And IHSS is in-home support services.
Yes, thank you. Okay. Yes, all of these acronyms I need to clarify. So in working with this patient, I had a lot of concerns. And in case people aren't familiar with mental health issues, it sometimes is a more challenging case because along with depression comes some anger. And when I started exploring and addressing some of the issues, the patient became very angry and started telling me stories about unfortunate diagnoses, unfortunate medication experiences, unfortunate treatment, which she perceived as being detrimental to her health. And so she was rather resistant about further treatment. And I did the education on those areas, which I knew would be necessary for her to be able to be open and compliant with the other areas, explaining how if she was depressed, she may not be motivated. She may be too tired to get out of bed to want to do her exercises and to be able to hear information and to be able to understand and follow through. So we had to deal with that, and I discussed different referrals that I recommended as far as regional center and as far as social services for the in-home support services to explore that care and hours and concerns about addiction and how addictive pain medication and anxiety medication is and if
right.
She was aware of this.
You know, you run into that quite a bit, don't you? Addictions and that develop over the course of taking these prescription painkillers or other drugs.
Unfortunately, that's the downfall from someone being treated after mm-hmm. something that's painful, like a fall, and then having to be on pain medication. There is the risk of becoming addicted and then having another issue on top of what they're already dealing with. And in this case, there were other disciplines in there. There was physical therapy, nursing, occupational therapy, and they were in the team meetings, we were seeing that they were having issues, and that's where I came in a large part, because if the patient wasn't compliant or had other issues, be it, you know, addiction or neglect or the depression, then they would all have a hard time, and they would have to pull out if the patient wasn't, or the caregiver wasn't able to take instructions and education. And so I started working with social services about what the patient needed, and they were willing to bring in a second caregiver just to do skilled services. I had to, in a very thoughtful and compassionate way, talk about with the patient my concerns. Is this what you want for yourself? Do you realize that there's the potential of you recovering, becoming mobile, becoming independent again? Is this what you want? Because her buying into it is what comes first. And then, even if there are other issues, then looking at what we would, where we would go from there. She was able to think about it and see each visit when I came back, see that, yes, you know, do you want to walk again? What was that like? And she said, yes, I do. I told her that I would be making an APS report because...
APS being Adult Protective Services?
Yes, thank you. And they would then look at the needs that she had. You know, was she being neglected? Was the caregiver not performing his duties? And then they would then mandate, so to speak, that they would bring in or suggest, because they cannot tell her. We can't tell her that she has to have medical care, that she has to have our services, that she has to take medication. But we can recommend, do you want your life to improve? Is a caregiving being done? We suggest that you bring in a second caregiver to take care of this. She did agree to that. So that part happened. And the addiction part, she started addressing that herself. And the mental health issues, we were able, she was able to agree to counseling and going back for treatment, for medication with that. It was, there were a lot of other referrals. Regional Center was going to come in and be the care manager to then make sure, you know, whether it was financial or other, that things would be taken care of. She was then becoming more hopeful because as she started working on the treatment that would allow her to manage the other treatment, she was able to then progress with the occupational therapy, with the physical therapy.
Fantastic.
With, you know, it was just amazing. This person would have been bedbound, which she was. She would have stayed in the wheelchair if someone could have even gotten her out because she was getting weaker and weaker. She would have deteriorated and eventually, you know, passed on many, many years sooner than she should have.
What a great success story. That's amazing.
Yes, yes. Those are, that's usually most of the time what we hope for and work towards and get everyone in there doing the best work. I mean, what we want is the highest quality of life and independence and for them to be able to remain in their homes. And with all of these, everyone working together using our skills, and that's why it takes all of us, takes a village sometimes. But it's all worth it.
It's definitely a team approach.
Multidisciplinary, for sure. Very important.
Yeah. And you also had another a story that you had mentioned before we got in the air.
It
was pretty interesting, too.
I do. This one is a little bit different. I thought I would give you kind of a feel of different cases. This one was someone who was working and independent and had a very unfortunate accident and then had a severe wound. And when I went in to assess after I got orders from the physician and looked at all of the financial, all of the psychosocial, all of the health and activities of daily living and so forth, this person was really out of everything. This person was actually homeless. And when I went to visit him, he was actually staying with a friend in a pop-up. He didn't have any income, any insurance, any food, any way of transportation. The nutrition and what he would need to heal this wound was lacking. The education around what the wound was, around what services were out there, helping giving him information and education so he could access and attain all of these things that he would need to help him. That was really probably about every resource that there was, you know, Social Security, disability, the insurance, We worked on housing. We worked on Section 8, getting them on the list there, getting them at, on the top of that list. Subsidized housing applications, applications for transportation. I found locations he could go to for meals and also for free food if he was able to cook. And I brought free samples for protein powder, which would help with the wound, and then coupons for him to purchase some afterwards with the help of a friend where there was no income. And trying to, it was going to be a long, long, long process. By the time he went to the doctor and we were called in, this was so severe, we were wondering if we could even help this man recover, help him recover. And thank goodness for the help that he had, because he was also illiterate. And it was a challenge. Had I had to communicate with him only, it would have been very difficult.
Mm-hmm. So you were able to actually get him back on his feet.
Yes. Yes. He did everything that we requested.
Wonderful.
It was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. And his friend was a gift to him. I mean, she loved him and he listened to her, and together they worked as a team, and they were so happy, so appreciative, and so thankful. And it's another happy ending with another good story of recovery in the home with someone that was homebound but was mm-hmm. able to improve the quality of their life.
Absolutely.
And stay independent.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you for those both of those stories, Catherine. That really, I think, brings us a lot of hope. It doesn't matter how down and out you might be. There is some hope that you bring to people through your work as a medical social worker with Amedisys. So one last time to reach you, Catherine, you can call the office, your office at 805-543-2108, or you personally at?
Yep, at 207-807-4095.
Well, once again, this half hour has sped by, and I want to thank our special guest expert, this week, Catherine Aceto with Amedisys Home Healthcare. And remember, you can call me anytime to hook up with any of our guest experts. And my number is 855-2023. That's 550-2023. So until next week, this is Deborah Bales, and I'm wishing you all the best. And remember to make the rest of your life the best of your life.
Thank you for listening to The Best Is Yet To Be, brought to you by ResCare Home Care, respect and care at home. For the best in home care, call 781-8156. That's 781-8156.